Hare Krishna, I have a question from a cantor, Daniel, who's Hungarian, so I'm just sort of roughly translating. He says, I'm not a believer, but I'm always interested in how other people think and behave and how humanity or people behave in general. I have my own conceptions of the world. So I have a question. What nourishes the thought process in people? What's the religious answer to this? Maybe there are other there's something that actually connects all of humanity, but I think that for deep thinkers, or the purpose of really deep thinking, is self-control, to strengthen one's mind, and ultimately in order to develop as a person. So although Daniel here says that I'm an atheist, he also says that. Atheist meaning that atheism, that he's against theism, or he's against the belief in God. But he certainly has a religion, he certainly has a faith. And the faith is what he's expressing here, or at least this is part of it. In other words, it's based upon what he thinks. So he's asking the question, what nourishes the thought process in a man or in people? And just the very question of nourishing the thought process, and of course the thought process goes through the mind. It is the mind that is thinking. And what in itself is the mind? That's another question to be asked. Are we just simply talking about the brain, or are we actually talking about something more subtle than the brain? From us in Krishna consciousness, the brain and the mind are two different things. The mind is a subtle body which acts through the grosser physical brain. Whatever you believe in, it's very clear that the process of thinking here is dependent on some higher nourishment. Where does that nourishment come from? So what influences our thoughts? So there are many factors involved. One is our karma. In other words, past experiences, past activities mold the way in which we think at the present. Similarly, our desires, desire itself is something that is expressed through the thought process. I think it's easily agreed that one's desire or the inspirations that one have affect one's thinking process. But an important thing here is that when you talk about that something is nourishing the thought process, nourishing the mind, it means that it's a higher entity. There is some higher entity which is actually determining how we're thinking, and that there are higher factors, other laws, which means that we're not independent agents. We just don't think as we want to think, but our thinking process is a result of being governed. And what is it that is actually governing us? Well, here he also says, at the conclusion, to understand oneself better. So that is what the self is. When we say, my thinking, my mind, and refer to a my, and what is that my? That is the essential self. Something that, although our thinking process may change, although our mind may change, although even our intelligence or discriminating ability, which will be what determines the self-control that he talks about, and of course our gross physical body changes, still our self continues to stay the same. It's an unchanging thing. And because it's unchanging, that's something that we don't have experience of. In this world, we know that everything changes. And that unchanging thing, the soul, that is what is influencing the mind. And to know the self ultimately means to actually come to know the soul. But then another question arises, that if the soul is really some transcendental entity that's completely separate from the physical body, because it's a non-changing thing, whereas our physical aspects and everything else are constantly in flux, then what is it that allows the interaction of these two completely different things? And the answer again is something that nourishes or controls both of those, something that is controlling both the soul or the many souls, as well as our thought processes or their thought processes. And for that matter, every gross physical action that could take place, and that is called the super soul. He's a controller of both, or in short, God. Now, of course, Daniel Maybach, at the mention that here we're always again bringing in God into the picture, but you need to have then a better explanation for how this process of interaction between our own identity and our physical body and our thought processes takes place. In the absence of a better explanation, then this one, because this is one that's been tried and tested by many great manishina, by many great thinkers who've also come to that same conclusion, that the only way that one can actually really explain the workings of the body and the mind and the thinking process is that ultimately there must be a bridge or a link between us, the self, and the body and our mind. And that link that facilitates all of our actions and thoughts is God Himself. So I hope that that answers somewhat Cantor Daniel's question, and we'll continue with our podcast tomorrow.